Hey, Packers fans. Welcome to a special edition of the Green 19 podcast. It's a short one to discuss the topic of the day, and that is the Green Bay Packers moving on from Joe Barry. Defensive coordinator was fired on Wednesday. So the move that everyone was waiting to hear one way or the other upon came to pass, and now the Packers are in the market for someone new. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, and I am joined on the other line by Ryan Wood, reporter for PackersNews.com. He was there as the this news came down yesterday. And Ryan, I guess, I mean, right off the top, we spoke about it a lot on the Green 19 podcast after the season, and kind of I think the consensus in this room anyway was that a change was needed. I don't know where we stood as far as do we expect a change. I did expect a change, and I think Tom did. I think you did. But give me that sense. Like, was there any surprise left or some, you know, curiosity as to whether this was actually going to happen?
No. I might have been a little surprised how swift it was, but as I thought about it, the longer this went on, the better that would have been for Joe Barry. Because
right.
Once you know that you have to make a change at such a high profile position, you got to get on that. Mm-hmm. You got to be swift. Because it's not enough to make the decision of Joe Barry won't be the defensive coordinator. The much bigger decision is, okay, who will be? There's a lot of candidates out there. You got to go get them. That's what Matt LaFleur did. So I think credit to him for not lollygagging. He was not a lollygagger. He went and he was brisk. He was swift. He went out and did what had to be done, and now he's going to attack this process. And it'll be his third defensive coordinator in his sixth season. And it'll be very interesting when we talk to Matt LaFleur next what he might have learned from the process, because it's only the second that he'll have hired. Mike Pettine was basically an arranged marriage.
Right.
And then Joe Barry was his first defensive coordinator hire. What he learned from that. But I also think, JR, that bigger than who is what. What scheme are they going to go with? Because it's a half measure to decide not to retain Joe Barry, but retain the scheme, a Vic Fangio-style scheme that most of the NFL, and you can even say to an extent the Miami Dolphins, right? Because even though Vic Fangio himself is heading to Philly, if the Miami Dolphins thought, no, this is our guy for the Super Bowl with Tua, Tyreek Hill, all these pieces on offense, he's the right guy, absolutely locked, solid, ironclad to lead this defense, I don't know if the Miami Dolphins let him go. So the rest of the NFL is moving away from this style of defense to much more of a pressure-oriented, blitz-heavy scheme, something we did not see with Joe Barry's system, the Vic Fangio-style system, which is designed to limit big plays and to kind of tamper down the explosives. This is going to be the question to me is he going to take a half measure or is he going to change scheme? Is he going to go with something else? We'll have to see.
Yeah, you guys, you and Tom Silverstein spoke about how maybe miscast some of the players are on defense. So that would seem to lead you to that would lead me to think that there's going to be a change of scheme. There are a lot of defensive guys out there, you know, like you mentioned, since we last chatted, Vic Fangio went on the market and then now appears to be off the market. So, you know, these are some big name defensive minded guys, head coaches like Brandon Staley and Mike Vrabel, who are defensive minded guys who have been released from their contracts in the past couple months. So that is interesting. And it's going to influence how they draft, you know, whether or not they, you know, if they decide to change things up, that means different types of players are going to be taken in the draft. So there's so many dominoes that have to fall. I, as far as trying to get a pulse on who, because I know that's the more interesting question to fans, even though what is, like you said, what is the more, probably the more important question. But, it just feels like defensive coordinator is a total crapshoot. It could be the quality control coach on a team you're not even thinking of who ends up being the guy, and he might be an incredible defensive coordinator. It could be a former head coach. It could be Wink Martindale, who was a defensive coordinator last year. I don't think it could be head coach Mike Vrabel, who was just fired by the Tennessee Titans and is, you know, available to be a head coach, presumably. I mean, maybe with the Falcons, you know, there's still a couple head coach openings available. Seahawks are still out there. So I don't think it's going to be a name someone recognizes. That's my hunch. But I could be wrong, you know. Like, Joe Barry was brought in with a lot of experience, and I think that was comforting for Matt LaFleur, given that he did have a staff without a lot of experience. I think now the obviously that's changed. There is a lot of experience now. So I could see it being somebody super young. I don't know. Like, do you have any sense? Are there any names rattling around your head that you think they could zoom in on? Or is this just, this feels like such an open race. I have no idea where this goes.
Well, let's get through who it won't be first.
Sure. Okay? That's a good idea.
It's not going to be Mike Vrabel. And alas, why would Mike Vrabel want to do anything other than be a head coach? It was, I thought, stunning that he was fired in Tennessee.
It's crazy.
Because all the guy did was maximize a roster that didn't have a quarterback. That's hard to do, and that is the hardest thing to do in this league. Mike Vrabel did that. So he will be a head coach again, whether it's this year or next.
And he can afford to take the year off. He doesn't need a job right now.
Yeah, why not? Why not take a year off when you know you're going to be a head coach again? Him and Jason Vrabel are not related. Check the spelling. And you might say, well, he's got a relationship with Matt LaFleur. But Matt LaFleur becoming Mike Vrabel's offensive coordinator for a year in Tennessee was much more of an arranged marriage. Matt LaFleur was the runner-up in that head coaching search. And after Mike Vrabel got the job, the Titans wanted him to be their offensive coordinator. And because in Los Angeles, under Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur did not call plays, he knew to be a head coach someday, he's got to be in a place where he's going to call plays. And it wasn't going to happen with the Rams because Sean McVay does that there.
Mm-hmm.
And Tennessee, with a defensive head coach, he had that opportunity. And because of that, he took the job. It wasn't to be with Mike Vrabel.
Right.
It was to call plays. And a year later, he leaves and he got his shot here with the Packers. So there's, I don't know how close those two are, but I don't get a sense that Mike Vrabel is going to come running to Matt LaFleur for a defensive coordinator job. I don't think this needs to be said. It shouldn't have to be said. It's not going to be Bill Belichick. He's not going to be the defensive coordinator.
Did someone say that?
Someone said that. I'm not going to say who, but I've seen that on it's stop. It's that's not going to be Bill Belichick. He's coaching at this age for one reason only, and that's the wins record. That's all he cares about. He's no interest in being a defensive coordinator anywhere. You know, I do think Ron Rivera would be an interesting decision. I do think that the Packers, certainly with where they're at the dawning of a new Super Bowl window, one that I don't think they expected to open up so quickly. Having a veteran presence instead of a project, instead of a potential candidate, that makes a lot of sense for where they're at. So for that reason, I think Ron Rivera makes sense. The other name, Ezier Evero, you know, if he doesn't get a head coaching job, I think that would be interesting because the marketability for this Green Bay Packers defensive coordinator job, right at the top of the job posting is come here, do a good job a couple of years, and you're a head coach. You get that opportunity. Because if the next defensive coordinator does a good job here, they have the offense with Jordan Love, this plentiful skill set around him. They have the offense. You come in here, do a good job, you're going to the Super Bowl. And you go to the Super Bowl as defensive coordinator in an organization where you're the play caller, you're the head coach of the defense, that gets you an opportunity. So if Ezier Evero doesn't get a head coaching job, I think, and we know that Matt LaFleur has spoken with him in the past about this job, I think that would be a very interesting candidate as well.
By all accounts, Joe Barry, and you know this better than anyone, awesome person, and seemed to connect with people in the locker room and seems to be just a genuinely great guy. There were some rumblings that he might consider staying on in some capacity. Number one, I don't even know if that's on the table for him. And number two, that seems crazy to me. I mean, it would take a very particular type of person to want to do that and then to thrive in that situation. Do you know anything about that? Is there any chance Joe Barry remains on staff in some capacity?
I haven't heard that. The only thing I was unsure about when it came to whether or not Matt LaFleur would make this move was, do they keep Joe Barry in place as defensive coordinator and hire a very senior veteran experienced consultant alongside him?
Right.
I could have seen that happening, but what I was told yesterday was that even as this defense made its late season turnaround, Matt LaFleur always knew. He always knew he had to make a change. There was no wavering there. After those three straight games, New York, Tampa Bay, Carolina, the writing was on the wall. And the big reason the writing was on the wall is because when you say publicly as an offensive play calling head coach that you have to take more control of the defensive side, there's no coming back from that. That's really, you know, you've made it clear that what's been going on late in the third season with this defensive coordinator is not good enough. You can't reverse course at that point, because he was right. It wasn't good enough. So I Matt LaFleur always, this was the direction he was always taking.
Yeah, the Tampa Bay game felt to me like the final nail in the coffin. I mean, then they struggled against Carolina, but it felt like after Tampa Bay, after Baker Mayfield got that perfect passer rating, you know, and like Tom has said, like you've said, we didn't know at the time how much Matt LaFleur maybe had input then over the course of what came next, where they did hold the Vikings and Bears to one touchdown because of a dropped punt, essentially. I mean, the defense really did turn a corner for the final games of the season. And then into the playoffs, I think there were a lot of things to be excited about, but it did feel like we'd already, you know, the ship had in fact sailed. So I also think, and I'm kind of just thinking out loud here, but interesting situation for Matt LaFleur, because I think if you know, after the Tampa Bay game, you think, well, he's going to fire the defensive coordinator, but that's the last guy before it's Matt LaFleur's, you know, before he's the guy on the hot seat. But then the Packers finished how they finished. Matt LaFleur is now nowhere near a hot seat. That, I mean, I was thinking midseason, are we sure Matt LaFleur is back in 2024? And now he's got carte blanche, right? He can do whatever he wants to sort of tweak this team. So I don't know what you think about that, but things changed for Matt LaFleur, I think. He's got a lot more cachet than he maybe did 6 weeks ago, I would think.
That's a great point. And first of all, the Tampa Bay game felt to me like week four of 2018 against Buffalo felt like with Mike McCarthy, mm-hmm. right? I'll never forget leaving the stadium after that game. I had a buddy from Buffalo that covers the Bills that was in town. We went to go get dinner. As I'm walking into the restaurant, I see what Aaron Rodgers said. And I was in the locker room. I wasn't at the podium after the game. He said, what? It was the plan? Oh, there's no coming back from that. Tampa Bay was the same for Joe Barry. There's no coming back from this one. This is it. And that's how it played out. But when you look at Matt LaFleur, I think this is important, JR. Joe Barry's going to get the headlines. That's going to be because it's a defensive coordinator position. It's a good job that's now mm-hmm. open in the NFL. It's a premium job. But it wasn't the only thing that the Packers or Matt LaFleur did yesterday. And almost as significant to me is firing Chris Gissey.
Yeah,
and the strength coordinator. And going a new direction with the strength and conditioning coordinator. That, you know, when you look at the flurry of decisions and how quickly Matt LaFleur made them this week, that's the mark of a head coach that is full of confidence, knows his role is nothing but secure, his job is nothing but secure, and is going to go out aggressively attacking the areas that this team needs to attack to get to that next level. Go back to – I don't know if I've ever seen Matt LaFleur's demeanor as subdued and dejected as I did after that loss in San Francisco, where he was asked at one point, what the 49ers do? What that defense – nothing. Just didn't make plays. Nothing they do. Like, he knows what he has – and you get the sense he's sick and tired. He's coached in big games. He's coached in NFC championship games. Mm-hmm. Five seasons in, that's not been the issue. It's been getting over the hump. A coach that's kind of sick and tired of not getting over the hump, that last final hurdle, and come hell or high water, he's going to do whatever it takes to take that final step. That's what it seems like. But as far as his job security, you know, you can make those moves. You can be more assertive, more aggressive, when you're secure 100% in where you're at, and he absolutely is, because the best thing that the Packers have going for them is this synchronicity between him and Jordan Love. That is worth its weight in gold in the NFL. When you've got an ironclad communication, being on the same page between an offensive play caller and your franchise quarterback, that's what we saw down the stretch. So Matt LaFleur knows he's very safe.
Yeah. The team also brought in kicker Jack Podlesny from but a very successful career at the University of Georgia, kicked in some huge, huge games in the same conference as Anders Carlson, of course. And that's now that promises to be a little bit of a kicking competition going forward. So they did not wait long to to maybe address that one as well. I thought that was pretty interesting.
He was the first team All-SEC last year, right?
Yes, he was. Second team was the kid from Alabama. So Anders was not all-conference, whereas this guy was first team.
82%,
Anders was all-conference 2 years ago.
Yeah, 82% percentage in three seasons at Georgia, which is 11% higher than Anders Carlson.
Yes.
I haven't done too much digging into him. I'm not saying that he's going to be the Packers' starting kicker, the kicker on the roster come 2024. It's so early. I get the sense that this kicking competition might take multiple intervals, multiple shades before we get to who the Packers kicker will be in 2024. But, they signed a kicker, and he was much better than 71% for his college career.
Yeah. Joe Barry gets a lot of criticism, and I think rightfully, for the struggles, some of the struggles of the defense. But the personnel also has not lived up to, I would say, their draft positioning in general. You know, you've got guys who faced injuries, Eric Stokes, but you look at guys like Quay Walker and Devontae Wyatt, who are still developing, I think, optimistically. You know, Jaire Alexander has had injuries. Darnell Savage is probably on his way out. These guys are all first-round picks. And so there's a little culpability there in that they haven't had a really high hit rate on some of these guys that they've brought in. How much of that is at play here? I mean, we talked on the last episode about where specifically the coordinator could make this better. But there is also the fact that they're going to go into this next draft and need safeties again, need people in the secondary, you know, maybe more pass rushers. Like, there's still some issues at truly getting the best personnel possible on the defensive side of the ball. How much does that factor into this?
Well, I remember after the Tampa Bay game, the debate of, okay, it's not if they're going to fire Joe Barry, it's when, and can he survive the end of the season? The only reason he didn't, because they didn't have anyone else. Mm-hmm. And that's a massive indictment of your coaching staff when your defensive coordinator allows the first perfect passer rating of Baker Mayfield's career in a critical game, and you can't fire him because there's no one else. So, I don't know. I look at a Quay Walker. I look at a Devontae Wyatt. You know, this Packers defense, Darnell Savage, they have athletes. They absolutely have athletes. There's no question about that. It's getting your athletes in the best position to be football players, to be playmakers. You know, there's no reason why Quay Walker, until late in the season, this is what he was, just an in-the-box, rangy linebacker. Rush the guy. He's huge. He's fast. You know, I'm not saying he's Micah Parsons, because Micah Parsons is Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
But get some inspiration there. Like try to be flexible and versatile with this tremendous athlete in the middle of your defense until late in the season. We saw none of that. It's getting your athletes to be in the best position to be football players and playmakers that the next defensive coordinator is going to need to do.
All right, well, we'll have a lot more at PackersNews.com, JSOnline.com, wherever you get your Packers information as things develop here in the offseason. Joe Barry is out, and there will be probably a pretty exhaustive search. I got to think that there's going to be some familiar names. You know, Tom Silverstein wrote a whole bunch of them down if you want to, like, parse through them. Some of those are names you've heard of, some names you absolutely have not heard of, but D coordinator. It's a thankless job. I was going back through the coordinators in Packers history, and, you know, does Fritz Schirmer get credit for them winning a Super Bowl? Dom Capers is remembered as the guy everyone wanted fired, not the guy who was leading a very good Super Bowl defense. And, I mean, back-to-back years, actually, they were really good, and then it fell off from there. So Mike Pettine, you know, Joe Barry, these guys are lightning rods. But like you said, they're in contention to be a Super Bowl team. So this particular time, it's not the same. You're in position to use this as a springboard, I think. And that makes it different, maybe, from a...
I remember when they fired Mike Pettine, thinking, be careful. It can always be worse. You know, there was this automatic assumption in the fan base that, oh, Mike Pettine's gone. This defense is going to rise now. It doesn't work like that. It's not an automatic thing. And it was worse. I mean, I think if you look at the totality of Joe Barry's 3 years – It certainly wasn't better than Mike Pettine, and if anything, it was slightly worse. So yeah, it's always be careful what you wish for, because there's no guarantee it's going to get better. Now in this case, I do think that they're in prime position for that to happen, but Matt LaFleur's got to learn from the experience of of hiring a failed defensive coordinator who was already a failed defensive coordinator when he was hired for his third defensive coordinator job. He's got to take a good, long, hard look at what scheme he wants to run. And he's got to find a guy that can put his players in the best position. And it's not just scheme. It's being a teacher. That's coaching. Every coach in the NFL knows more ball than will ever has forgotten more ball than will ever learn.
For sure.
It's being able to translate that. It's being able to teach it, instruct it to a defense that then can go communicate and execute a game plan. These are the things he needs to look for.
He is Ryan Wood again, PackersNews.com. Thanks for joining me, Ryan. I really appreciate it. We will be back in touch with you again, probably next week, to look ahead into this offseason. Thanks, Ryan. We'll talk to you again soon.
Take care.